on the hotline is my good buddy Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com. Steve, thanks for making time for us today. The last 24 hours, very interesting happenings as far as quarterbacks in the NFL and at Ohio State. How devastating of a blow was the news yesterday that Miller is out for the season for OSU?
Well, definitely it hurts. I mean, Ohio State was picked fifth in the AP poll, sixth in the coaches poll, so some people thought that this was a team that had the potential to play in the first ever four-team college football playoff if they'd been selected in the top four at the end of the season, if they'd won the Big Ten, and probably would have had to have gone 12-1 or 13-0 to merit that. That seems like it's going to be a very tall order now for Ohio State to kind of live up to those high, high expectations. And without Braxton Miller, they've recruited extremely well across the board. They've got players who are at or top the Big Ten list at nearly every position across the board, and they and Michigan State are clearly the class of the Big Ten right now. But for Ohio State to play the upcoming season without Braxton Miller puts a tremendous damper on things. And, you know, again, the good news, if there is good news, is they have not canceled the season. They are going to play it as scheduled. So, you know, they're going to play a 12-game regular season, let the chips fall where they may. It sounds like JT Barrett, the redshirt freshman, will get the first opportunity against Navy. And then where things go from there, nobody knows at this point. A lot of unknowns for this Ohio State team.
And you mentioned Barrett. He was one of the handpicked guys by Urban Meyer and his staff in recruiting, right, to come in here as a dual-threat quarterback to run his and Tom Herman's offense.
Exactly. Of course, Miller was recruited to Ohio State by Jim Tressel, even if he never played for Tressel other than maybe his first spring on campus in 2010 before, or rather 2011 before Tressel resigned as the head coach. And then, of course, Cardale Jones was brought in with the year Luke Fickell was the head coach. So basically Tom Herman, the offensive coordinator, and Urban Meyer scoured the country a couple of years ago looking for quarterback prospects. And JT Barrett at the time, prior to his senior year, was considered one of the top three or four run-pass quarterbacks in the country by just about every major service. The issue is he went out that October and suffered a torn ACL in his knee, and he hasn't played a live down of football in a real game in almost 2 years. He sat out last year at Ohio State redshirted and got his rehab done and came back and looked pretty sharp in the spring. And now it's go time for JT Barrett, pressed into service, it seems, as a redshirt freshman. It's kind of ironic. Again, the timing of this whole thing, I mean, is almost surreal. Miller had the surgery back in February, and for the longest time, he had told people, I'm 100%, I'm getting there, although Tom Herman told people that there was a setback early in camp, and that Miller was having soreness. And on Saturday, Herman came out and said that Barrett had eclipsed Jones as the true backup at that point, something that Jones came out of the spring with. And at the same time, he said, we're hoping to turn Braxton loose on Monday afternoon to see what he can do. Urban Meyer and Braxton Miller said the same thing at noontime on Monday, and about 3 hours later, he suffered the injury, a non-contact injury, when his shoulder popped out of socket, suffered a torn labrum, and now he's lost for the season and will not play quarterback for the Buckeyes this year. Just an amazing set of circumstances that all came down in about a 3 or 4 day period.
One of the terms I read somewhere on Twitter today, Steve, was that Urban Meyer referred to JT Barrett as Guyton-ish or Guyton-like, okay, meaning Kenny Guyton, more of a distributor than the individual playmaker himself. I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen enough of him to formulate my own opinion on whether that's accurate or not. What about you? What have you seen from covering him in high school and maybe what you've seen down there at Ohio State? Is that an accurate statement by Urban Meyer?
Yes, and first of all, I want to say I'm going to trademark the term Guyton-ish, and I'm going to print Scarlet Gray T-shirts that will be distributed.
Well, I wear a large, Steve, so when you get those out, send me one a large, and then I'll take a picture of it on Twitter and hopefully get you some business, all right?
Yeah, I figure I can make a lot of money in a short period of time if I produce those T-shirts and have them ready to go for the Virginia Tech game. But at any rate, what I like about JT Barrett, he's kind of I wouldn't say he's a similar quarterback to Braxton Miller. He's probably more of a distributor. Miller, as I did a survey, carried the ball 15 times a game on average in his first three seasons at Ohio State. And that's an awful lot of rushing attempts for the quarterback, a lot of hits on his body. And people questioned his toughness and all these other things. And I say, geez, you know, he's been hit 13, 14 times a game in a lot of these games. So I think you have to give him a lot of credit for withstanding as much punishment as he did. So that's the first thing. Barrett is not that same type of quarterback. I don't think you're going to look at him and say he's going to keep the ball and run it 10 or 12 times. And Meyer even made the comment that Miller was good for 100 yards a game rushing, and those 100 yards need to be made up some way or the other between Barrett, the limited times he's going to run it, the running backs, getting the ball to Dontre Wilson on jet sweeps and these kind of things. However, any way they can do it, they got to make up those yardage, those yards and those points that Miller produced. Barrett, they're hoping, is going to be more of a distributor like Kenny Guyton. He's got a very quick release with his passing, so if he sees something that's open, he can get the ball out there quickly, and that's what they want. They have recruited extremely well. Jeff Heuermann, the tight end, the senior, is going to be one of the key playmakers. He said today that they have more playmakers on this roster than they've had at any time in his tenure at Ohio State, you know, going back to 2001 or 2011, and we're talking about guys like Jalen Marshall, Dontre Wilson, Devin Smith, the senior from Maslin there, and other guys that they're going to be counting on. Two guys in particular, Michael Thomas and Corey Smith. Corey was originally from Bucknell up there in Akron. So those two guys redshirted last year. They are definitely in the mix, and it's going to be on the quarterback, whether it's Jones or Barrett, whoever it turns out to be, to get those guys the ball in space and let them create.
We're talking with Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com and 24/7 Sports about Ohio State having to go with a new quarterback, a quarterback who's never played a game at Ohio State before, and JT Barrett, because of the injury to Braxton Miller, done for the season, surgery, says he will come back next year. We'll have to wait and see if indeed that happens, but for this year, it's Barrett for now, Cardale Jones as the backup. And you mentioned those playmakers, Steve. Are you buying into it that they do have those playmakers, that a Wilson, a Smith, both Smiths, if you will, a Thomas, a Heuermann, that these guys are better than what they've had and they can help make up for the loss of Miller, or are you still questioning that?
I think that there are a lot of playmakers there. I think, you know, you look at Marshall, he was a guy that was injured last year and didn't get to play. As I said, Corey Smith, he came from the JUCO ranks, and yep, we don't know what he can do. Michael Thomas has had two big showings in spring games at Ohio State, but you just don't know where he's going to be when the time comes. You know, you got to figure the hit or miss ratio on some of these guys will take effect. And the other thing is it could be one guy one week and another guy the next week. You just don't know that any of these guys are going to come out and be top line guys every week going forward. But I do like the fact that Rod Smith has really stepped up at running back. Briante Dunn, the same thing. Curtis Samuel, the freshman. And they're getting Ezekiel Elliott coming off his wrist injury, getting him back into the fold as well. So they've got four or five running backs, four or five receivers. I did mention Evan Spencer. He's in the mix as well. Plenty of athletes, and I like Heuermann and Vanette, probably one of the best tight end combinations around in college football. A senior and a junior, and guys that have made big plays. Down the stretch last year, I want to say in Heuermann's last four or five games, he had six catches and averaged 35 yards a catch. And he had the big play, obviously, against Michigan, and a big play against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. So I think that people want to see that guy get the football in particular. We know Meyer, in his pedigree in this offense, knows how to use the tight end. Those who shall remain nameless, who are under
investigation under, and in prison,
under indictment or whatever. Yeah, we will leave that part of it out of it. But he knows how to use the tight end. I think a lot of people want to see that come to fruition with Heuermann in particular this this fall.
All right, so there are some playmakers there for Barrett or Jones or both to work with on offense. What about defense? It was atrocious the last three games, Michigan, Michigan State, the bowl game against Clemson. Chris Ash brought in. They're going to be more aggressive with their corners, with their coverage, blitzing the quarterback, trying to create turnovers. Are you buying that they can fix this defense that was so bad in the last three games in an offseason?
Yeah, I think that that is a big question mark. I think the front four, you start there with the likes of Noah Spence when he comes off suspension, as well as Joey Bosa. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew down the stretch last year. Michael Bennett, he's a war daddy there in the middle. And Adolphus Washington, you talk about him as a guy who's really starting to come into his own at defensive tackle as well. I think those four guys are going to set the tone. Steve Miller from Camp McKinley is also in that mix. He'll probably replace Noah Spence in the first two games, which are not chopped liver games. Navy and Virginia Tech, two respectable football programs that are probably both capable of winning anywhere between 8 and 10 games this year. I think that those are going to be important games to set the tone for the defense. Navy obviously is not going to throw the football a lot. They're going to run it, so you won't get a good sense of the pass defense from the Navy game, but Virginia Tech, Cincinnati will challenge them in the non-conference, and then you get into Maryland and Rutgers in the Big Ten and Hackenberg at Penn State. They will be tested. The linebacker core, you lose the All-American Ryan Shazier. What happens there? It sounds like right now Curtis Grant has won the middle linebacker position over the highly touted freshman Raekwon McMillan. McMillan will be sitting to start the season, but you know he'll be a factor on all the special teams. And then, of course, the two Columbus guys, Darren Lee and Josh Perry, at the outside spots, and amazing. Can you upgrade the secondary by playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores? That's what we're going to find out at Ohio State this year. They lost Christian Bryant and Corey Brown and C.J. Barnett out of there, and Bradley Roby went pro. There's four guys that played a lot of football last year, the last several years, for the Buckeyes, but everybody thinks they're going to be better in the secondary. And to be quite honest, the guys they've recruited were more highly touted prospects probably than just about all those guys I mentioned. So Durant Grant is going to be the leader, an all Big Ten caliber corner, and he's going to be on the firing line. The other corner could be Garyon Conley from Massillon, could be in the mix there, as well as over there talking about Armani Reeves, Eli Apple. Those guys and the safeties have got them all excited. Von Bell, the All-American out of Tennessee, he's in there. And Tyvus Powell, who got in there, was the hero of the Michigan game last year with that interception on the two-point pass. Those guys are going to be the mainstays at safety and really upgrading by putting youth on the field. I've never really heard of it that way, Kim.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it all plays out. They're going to play a little different scheme, try and get after people, be more aggressive, and force the issue. As Urban Meyer said, I can't stand sitting back and watching people just dink us up and down the field. He said, we're going to make some mistakes. People are going to hit a big pass over our heads once in a while, but I like our chances playing this style of defense rather than what they've been playing.
Well, it can't be any worse than what it was the last three games last year, that's for
sure.
Only
one way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only team in the Big Ten that allowed more passing yards last year than the Ohio State University. It can't be like that.
No, it can't. Steve, we could go on and on, but I got to cut you loose right here. Great insight. If you all out there are Buckeye fans and you want everyday information on Ohio State, by all means, check it out, bucknuts.com, 24/7 sports. He's Steve Hellwagon. Steve, we'll talk again down the road. Always appreciate the time. Hit him straight on the golf course today, all right, bud?